Today on Real Radio.
The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the word of God, the Bible, should cause people to press in and to hear what's being said. Unfortunately, liberal seminaries have produced spiritless preachers who go out and make dead churches that have no gospel.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're in a mini-series that examines the second half of chapter 16. For those who will listen, the Messiah sets the record straight on life's priorities, especially in how we view our Maker and the extension of His kingdom. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called, What Does Your God Value?
And church, I don't think it's any stretch for your imagination or mind to realize that those are often two different things. What God values can be far different and is certainly more lofty than what you and I can value. You and I have the temptation of being caught up into this world's attention and this world's affection. And in Luke chapter 16, we started in verse 15 last time, and we looked at what your God values, what does your God value, and the collective thought this morning is, Jack, come on, we're Christians. It must be all the same thing, right? But that's not necessarily true. Jesus had hit the religious establishment right between their eyes. And he had been announcing and challenging them what was in their wallets. It was not the currency. Over these last several weeks, Jesus has been warning us not to trust in riches. And isn't it amazing how the stock market and the global markets, as of this hour, continue to slide? And people are waking up to the reality of, what are we going to do? For those of you who are maybe more senior in our fellowship, you've been saving up your money for all these years for your retirement, and people are seeing their retirement fly away from them. And it's not only us in America, it's worldwide. Why is that an issue? What was Jesus speaking to us about regarding loving money more than God? Because whatever's in our wallet regarding what we value will be the treasure of our heart. And the truth of the matter is, as strange as this sounds, whatever is in our wallet can actually be an indicator about where our heart is in our relationship to God. Is what you and I have in our wallet belonging to God? Does it belong to Him? Is it for the advancement of His kingdom? Are we investing in the things of life? What does your God value? We looked at several things last time before we left off. Number one was this: what does your God value? We looked at verses 15 to 17, and we came away with this. What does your God value? Is it the offer of salvation? These scribes and Pharisees, they began to trust in riches. They had very influential, powerful positions, and they began to trust in things. But church, listen, is it the offer of salvation that your God offers? Because the Lord offers the assurance of salvation. It's Jesus Christ, it is the Bible, my friend, that announces to us that God offers us salvation. Money can't do that for us. I just heard a quote, by the way, from or about Ted Turner. Do you guys know who Ted Turner is? Ted Turner is the founder, the creator of the cable news network, CNN. He invented CNN. He invented 24-hour news, Ted Turner. He's a billionaire. Ted Turner owns more land in America than any other individual. Ted Turner. Ted Turner said, after having read that Jesus said that you cannot buy your way into heaven, I don't know where Jesus ever said that, but it can certainly be paraphrased that way. When Ted Turner read recently that you can't buy your way into heaven, Ted Turner said, Jesus knows what he's talking about. I find that interesting. That's a big step for a multi-billionaire to be able to say about Jesus, that Jesus knows what he's talking about when you can't buy your way into heaven. No, the Bible is the message, the announcement to us that the Lord offers us the assurance of salvation. We looked at also this in verse 16. Is it the offer of salvation that your God offers you, the God that's in your life, and that the Lord offers the opportunity of salvation? We saw that the Pharisees were separated from the people. This was the religious hierarchy. They were wealthy. They were influential. They were powerful. But they distanced themselves from the people. On the other hand, Jesus, who of himself said, I have no place to lay my own head, where do you find Jesus? Do you find Jesus housed in some monastery? When you open up the Bible, do you find Jesus hiding out somewhere? You always find Jesus where the people are, don't you? Isn't it beautiful that he's the shepherd of the sheep? He's always around people. The Pharisees were not. Again, they were influential, they were wealthy, they were powerful, but they had a clique. No one enjoys or likes cliques. They ostracize people. The truth is that they were to be offering and making an opportunity for people to come to know the Lord. And Jesus, in fact, had warned them that they were keeping people from knowing the Lord. The opportunity in verse 16 announced to us that Jesus spoke and said, the law and the prophets were until John, and since that time, that is the time from Moses to John, that's John the Baptist, the kingdom of God has been preached and everyone is pressing into it. We looked at that word pressing, that the Lord offers the opportunity of salvation to all people. You see, rich people are not excluded from heaven. And poor people are not excluded from heaven. The opportunity for all to be saved is given by the Lord to all who will listen. It's awesome to think that someone in the poorest circles of life today and someone who may be in the richest circles of life today have access to Christ by the same opportunity. That word pressing we looked at was a word that announced that Jesus is saying people are forcing their way into the kingdom, exerting themselves violently, pressing in to get inside the kingdom of heaven, that people want heaven. Heaven's made fun of today. It's mocked. But Jesus said in his day, when the word was going out, people were pressing into it. They wanted to go to heaven. I saw a bumper sticker years ago. You've probably seen it. It says, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. That's a great bumper sticker. Everybody should be and ought to want to press into heaven. But for a lot of reasons, people don't want to even talk about heaven. Listen to this. Those, quote, those familiar thoughts of life and death, the grave, and of heaven and hell, of life, eternity, these are the constant visitors to the door of every man's soul. Think about that. Jesus is saying, you need to be like those pressing in. And the Pharisees were like this. They had their arms folded and they were resisting the gospel. They were resisting the message of Christ. In another place, Jesus said, you board up heaven and you keep those from entering in and you become twice the children of hell than those that were before you. And Mark chapter 12, verse 37, Jesus said, or the Bible says there, and the common people heard Jesus gladly. They were pressing into heaven. They wanted to know how to get to heaven and how to be forgiven of their sins. In Luke 24, 32, and they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while Jesus talked with us on the road and while he opened up to us the scriptures? Their hearts burned within them. That's an awesome thing. And then Acts 16, 30, the Bible tells us, and he brought them out and said, this is the Philippian jailer. When the Philippian jailer there heard the message and the earthquake and all that had taken place, Paul and Silas and those were in jail. And that Philippian jailer there said, sir, what must I do to be saved? And so they said to him, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your entire house. Where is that today? People should be breaking down the doors of churches that are proclaiming the truth to hear the good news. Think about it. If we offer this, if we offer that, I mean, it's sad. Well, sometimes we get like Goldilocks. It's too warm in here. It's too cold in here. The seats are too hard. The seats are too soft. I mean, come on. We need to be people who are in tune with heaven more than this earth and be pressing in to hear more of the Word of God. We need to be pressing in. But perhaps the greatest picture that we read about of someone desiring to get inside the kingdom of God is found in Mark chapter 2, verse 1. Mark 2, verse 1. Imagine this in your mind's eye for a moment. Jesus has been preaching. He's come inside of a home in Capernaum. And it says that the people that were hearing him had come into the house. And so many people were gathered into the house that there was no room left for them, not even outside the door. And as Jesus preached to them the word of God, some men came bringing to him their paralytic friend. And they carried them, all four of them carried the man. And since they could not get him in to see Jesus because of the crowd, listen, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus' head, and after digging up through the roof, they lowered the mat of their paralyzed friend lying on it through the roof. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." That is an awesome story. Can you imagine? Jesus is preaching and teaching, and the dust starts coming in. It's in the evening. If you read the full context, they've got candlelight going. Jesus is speaking. Everyone's pressing in to listen and to hear what's going on. Can you imagine? Parents are saying, shh, to their kids. And dust begins to open up. There's noise on the roof. The roof opens up and dust falls through. You can see it in the candlelight. And as it's falling through and the hole gets bigger, they begin to let this paralytic man down in his bed with little ropes. And the guy comes down right in the middle. And Jesus, seeing their faith, that is the faith of his friends and the man, he says, "Your sins are forgiven you." Man, I don't know about you, but if I would have been let down in a little chair like that or a little bed like that, I would have wanted Jesus to announce, to say, "Heal me. You're healed. Stand up." I bet you Jesus did that anyway. But for the picture of our story, when Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven you." My friend, that's why you and I need to be pressing into the kingdom of God. The hope of eternal life comes this way, that Jesus forgives sins. He loves to forgive. Have you noticed that when you and I sin, we are grieved because someone might not forgive us? We're afraid that they won't forgive us? Well, what if I go to them and ask them to forgive me? And they say, "No, I won't forgive you." You never have to fear that about Jesus, ever. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Find that kind of friendship in this world. I'll forgive you as long as you're nice to me. That's the way the world works, not God, not the Lord. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the word of God, the Bible, should cause people to press in and to hear what's being said. Unfortunately, liberal seminaries have produced spiritless preachers who go out and make dead churches that have no gospel. And now people today, and I don't blame them. Listen, I don't blame them. People make fun and mock. You go to church? What kind of a dope are you for going to church? I wouldn't go to church. People are angry at God. They're angry at Christians. They're angry at the Bible. They want to shut Christians up. And listen, I don't blame them. Because when you begin to talk to them and ask them their picture of Christianity, you know what? I side with them. We were at a rally a couple of weeks ago, a Sarah Palin rally in L.A., and we walked out of the stadium, and there was a guy standing there, and he had a sign. Thank God he was all by himself. He had a sign there, and it said, "Repent, you're all going to burn in hell." And I wanted to go over there and tell him something, and then two things came to my mind. Number one, I'm not in the right attitude to go tell him something. Number two, the Bible says, do not answer a fool in his folly. But that kind of damage, people think of Christians, and they think of you and I walking around saying to people, "You're going to burn in hell, thou foul sinner." We are to proclaim the gospel of God, which is the forgiveness that only comes through Jesus Christ. He's the one that went to the cross. He's the one that died for our sins. He's the one that rose again from the dead. That's very important. Verse 17, we learn that the Lord offers the guarantee of salvation. Jesus said it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle, that is one little dot, one little period, one little hyphen of the law to fail. Jesus said the Bible, you can always trust it. And that Bible guarantees our salvation. We looked at point number two, and that was found in verse 18. And it got a lot of people excited the last time we talked on this one. What does your God value? Because verse 18 seems to be out of place, but in reality, when you know the time in which Jesus was speaking to these Pharisees, it was a perfect hit. What does your God value? Is it the sanctity of a covenant? That was the issue. when Jesus mentioned to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. You say, man, that comes out of left field. He was talking about money and possessions and the power of the scribes and Pharisees. Oh, yes, but do you remember that for money, they were marrying and divorcing women like changing their clothes. And Jesus busted them on it. And he did it this way. God holds sacred his covenants, and his covenant of marriage he holds sacred because God relates to us by a covenant. You may not think much about that. I trust everybody in this church does, but God, listen, God did not make, are you guys listening? God did not make a contract with us. When a husband and wife are being married, it's not a contract. It's a covenant. Covenants trump contracts every time. A covenant is something that comes down from heaven to man. And he says, male and female shall they be, come together in my image, a husband and a wife. It's a covenant. And God holds those things sacred. And Jesus said, you divorce your wife like it's nothing. And the Bible says that God hates divorce. Also this, is it the sanctity of a covenant because God invented marriage for life? Verse 18 goes on. He says, for whoever marries her who is divorced from her husband commits adultery. Why? Because it is a spiritual invention of God. It's a sacred covenant. And God invented marriage. He alone has the blueprint to it. Interesting. God has made a covenant. The Bible says he's made a covenant with us for life. The Bible says choose life. Church, listen. The Bible says choose life. Did you know that? I'm pro-choice. Choose life. Choose value. Choose the right way. Choose Bible. Listen to this. In our culture today, divorce and abortion are much alike in the mind of God. Both are creations that destroy man. Think about it. Abortion and divorce destroys the sanctity of man. Very, very important. Now we come to where we left off. This is our last point. We're almost done. You said, man, that's a 15-minute introduction? Yep, because we're almost done now. That's the last and final point. Point number 3, verses 19 to 31. It's a big point. What does your God value, number 3? Is it the reality of eternity? Is it the reality of eternity? Verse 19 says, and there was a certain rich man. All Bible students, circle the word certain. This is important. There was a certain rich man. That word in the Greek means to teach us that this is not a parable. Can somebody tell me this? Can all you repeat this? Not a parable. Go. This is not a parable. I needed you to do that because a lot of people, maybe some of your footnotes or margins in your Bible will say, this is another parable. This is not a parable. You say, why? What's the big deal? Because Jesus now, church, Jesus now has so hit the scribes and Pharisees between their eyes, their wallets, and their hearts with the reality of God's values that now Jesus is going to expose to them what most scholars believe is a situation that his audience was aware of. It was fresh in their minds. So all of us need to sit up and take notice. There was a certain rich man, not a parable, who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Verse 20, but there was a certain beggar. You ought to circle the word certain. Named Lazarus. Nobody in parables has a name. And nobody in parables has the definition as certain before them. This man Lazarus was full of sores. He was laid at his gate, the rich man's gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. First thing, what does your God value, my friend? Is it the reality of eternity? Number one, eternity in light of what I am. Does your God value, the God that you worship, listen, the God that controls your thoughts, the God that directs your giving. You say, what giving? I don't give. Oh, yeah, you do. I didn't put anything in the plate. You're still a giver. What is it? Where can it be traced? I don't know about you, but I have a credit card I've had since I think 1978, a year out of high school or 2 years out of high school. I had a credit card. I still have it. If I'm going to use it, I always have to tell them, especially when I'm traveling. I'm going to be traveling, and maybe you do this, and you notify your credit card people in advance before you travel. You say, why do you do that? Well, I have to do that because Citibank or American Express, wherever I'm at, if I don't tell them in advance, my card won't work. And you guys, I've been with them since 1978. 1878, that far back. Some of these young people are going, 78. It's ancient history. But they see activity. Boop, boop, boop. I could be anywhere in the world. I'm sorry, sir, your card does not work. I have to call the number and say, listen, I'm trying to check out of this hotel in Tel Aviv. I got to get out of here. They said, yes, we're seeing activity. We saw activity at the Frankfurt Airport in Germany, and now we see activity in Tel Aviv. This is correct. It is because I, the cardholder, am trying to use it. And they say, thank you, hold on one moment. Okay, Mr. Hibbs, is there anything else we can do for you today? Just make my card work! Have you ever had that happen? Everything's listed, because if there's any doubt, they'll say, did you spend 3.5 euros on a hot dog and French fries at Frankfurt Airport? That's specific. Unbelievable. There's a roster, there's a list. And God knows. If American Express knows, God knows. What am I? What I have, what I do, the real God of my life, you can find out by the statements that come in the mail every 30 days. Where are my affections? Where are my loyalties? Where are my commitments? Are they for the advancement of the kingdom of God? I know these are tough times. People are losing their shorts and cars and houses and everything else. Does that mean that we back off from our commitment to God? Sorry, God. No, listen, if you and I just had one carrot left, what does the Bible teach us? That 10% of that carrot belongs to the Lord. That's the Lord's carrot. I'm talking about carrots that you eat. I'm not thinking about the carrot on your finger ring there, lady. You can't eat that. That's worthless to me. I want a carrot to eat. The Bible warns about days like that. Very, very important. In light of eternity, what am I? The Pharisees saw themselves as well off because God had blessed them. That same mentality is in the world today. If you're rich, you must be blessed by God. That's not necessarily true. Oh, if you're poor, you must be cursed by God. Not necessarily true. Paul the Apostle said that his life was made up of being well off and being broke. Cycles. He said, I've learned how to be abased, that's having nothing, and I've learned how to abound, that's having something.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called What Does Your God Value? This is actually a mini-series taken from the second half of Luke chapter 16, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Listen, if you haven't logged on to realradioactive.org lately, pay us a visit. You'll find our newly formatted website easy to navigate. Just point and click for podcasts, MP3s, recent broadcasts of Real Radio, special offers, resources, even current events in our nation and beyond that affect us as believers. The new realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our toll-free telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can easily be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. Inside.
You shine amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.